close enough. How many like the cold? Not too many. How many like shoveling? Not too many. My wife loves snow. I love snow too, but I don't really like to have to move it. Thanks, Steve. So good to have you with us today. If you're a guest today, make sure you stop at the Welcome Center and get your free t-shirt. Also, you can get a book, as they've already told you from Pastor Gary, Kingdom Thoughts. That's a great book. You can read that every day. It's just kind of tries to get you in the mindset of the kingdom. Before I get started, I ask if they'd load up that promo video for Chad. Chad's going to be here in just a short time, but I want you to watch it, and we'll go from there.
Because I'm no longer the sinner who's connected to it. I'm connected to the vine, and through the vine, there is no disease, there is no sickness, there is no death. It is a flow of the life of God.
It was a promise. You'll never be sick another day in your life, because I'm your healer. I'm now your doctor. Come on, guys, think about it. The Israelites, all they knew was the medicine and the witchcraft and the sorcery and the occult of Egypt. That's all they knew. They didn't know God like we know God.
Be an amazing time. Chad's going to be here with us on that Saturday, the 25th, and then Sunday, the 26th. The Saturday, doors open at 5, service starts at 6. Sunday, 10:30 service. You can get into the auditorium at 9:45. Service, again, will start at 10:30, but we're expecting great things. Hopefully, you know, we're believing full houses. God is just doing what God does. I'm telling you, the more and more Pastor Kim and I are tapping into God, the more the enemy, he doesn't like it, and he fights, but he's a snotball, ain't he? But I'm telling you what, I've known too much. I'm not going back. God has got some great things in store for this church. This is 2025. I'm excited about what we are about to unleash and hinge in here. That's just going to, I just know the presence of God is already in you if you're a born-again believer. He's here, he's in us, he inhabits the praises of his people. Come on. And if he's in me, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I can do all things through Christ. God is my head. The enemy is under my feet. Come on, somebody. We have got a king that is, he cannot get dethroned. You can't impeach Jesus. Look, everybody's like, I'm not going to try to impeach him. But anyway, I'm just fired up. I'm so fired up I can't even put my coat in to get my notes. Woohoo! God is so good. I'm stoked. I just put live on Facebook just a little while ago, a few minutes ago, about sticking point. Anybody ever been stuck? I have. Have you been stuck? How many have ever been on a diet and been stuck? Like, oh, dear Lord, you've like, I am doing everything. Fat, go away. You know, and you get on the scale and it's just not moving. Or maybe it's just, you just seem like, oh, if it's not, we've had this, people have had this mentality, hopefully not you. If it's not one thing, it's, boy, I'm just waiting on the other shoe to, you know, it's always. I'm saying, and we have these things. We have to be careful about what we're saying because we know about first words. We know about the words that we speak. But just about being stuck, that sticking point, how do I get past that? You know, persistence, yes, we get that. Consistency, I get that. But man, in the midst of everything, you just want to go, does anybody have a white flag? I grew up watching, well, I can't say as I do now, I haven't watched it in years and years and years, but my dad was a big fan of big time wrestling. And back in the day, you know, and I just remember as a little kid, those tag team matches. Have you ever just wanted to tag somebody? Somebody else, please come in. I'm tired. Come in. That's sometimes that when we feel like we're at a sticking point. Let me just tag somebody. Can somebody come in and fight this for me? The truth is Jesus has already fought. He's already won. Our problem is we don't understand how to receive what we already have. I want to get us past the sticking point. I'm tired of being stuck. If I could show you this morning, if I could show you just some glimpses in these next couple, 3 weeks of just if you're stuck, how you could get past it. I mean, for years, I competed. I did bodybuilding. I was a fitness instructor. I managed a fitness spa and all of that. And I had guys that would come and say, I'm trying to bench this. You know, the difference between a bodybuilder and a power lifter? A power lifter has to move the weight. They have to move it. A bodybuilder just looks like he can. I was like, I'll do that. I mean, I'm not saying I wasn't strong. I was. But I mean, I didn't have to sit there and go and bench 450 pounds and prove it. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, I just needed to look like I could bench 450 pounds. I'm like, okay, I'll deal with that. But I had guys that would be stuck, and they'd be like, they didn't call me PB because I wasn't a pastor then. They just, hey, my nickname then was Gleese. Hey, Gleese, I can't get past this. I can't get this up. What do I do? So I'd give them things to do what? To get them past the sticking point. If they didn't do it, they didn't get past it. Now, I'm not saying that was the only thing they could do, but those are the things that I got that I could give them, and we got successful. And they would get past that sticking point, and they'd go tell their friends, and the next thing I know, I got two or three more guys that are working out at the spa. What does it take for us to say, God, how do I get past the sticking point? Obviously, you know. Because if your spirit is in me, he says he reveals mysteries. He knows all things. Are you stuck? I know for me and what's happening in 2025 and what we need and what I believe that it looks like in the physical that we need for TLC, I'm like, Lord, how do we do that? But he knows. I'm just saying right now, we're about to get past the sticking point. And some of us are probably like, oh, I've heard that before. Well, you hide and watch. We're already seeing stuff happen right now. But we're going to see even more and more and more. If you could help me get unstuck, would you be interested? Let's look at it today. Proverbs 29:18, where people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild, but whoever obeys the law is joyful. That's in the New Living Translation. The New King James says, where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. Basically, where there's no vision, it says the people perish. That's what the King James says. What are you doing when you see yourself? How do you see where you're at? What you got to get past? Come on, I'm talking to people today. What do you, I don't want to look at the same thing every time. Do you? I want to say, okay, God, I want to see success. I want to see promotion. I want to be able to help people. I don't want to feel like I'm always the one that's like, oh, I wish that would happen to me. I'm hearing bells. You see, if we don't have a vision, it's kind of like we're a rowboat that's just out in the middle of the lake. We don't have any oars. We can't really guide it. Our best is maybe to dog paddle on one side. We can't really do anything. We are subject to the current of the lake, the body that we're on, the water that we're on. That's how we end up. We kind of don't have a say. We want to have a say, but we don't do anything about it. We don't really have a choice on how we stop or when it, if the current's just going that way, that's the way we're going. If we have no control, we don't have any choice, or at least we don't think we have any choice, but to just go with the flow. You ever have people that just follow? I forgot to say hi to our online crowd. God bless you. Online campus, thanks for joining us. I worked at Cedar Point for 2 summers. 2 summers of my life I spent watching people. It's a whole different crowd at Cedar Point. I mean, it's like going to Walmart on a super holiday. But I mean, there'd be people, and let me give you the first year I did the turnpike cars and the super jets. And then they liked my voice, and so they moved me to the blue streak. So I did that for the majority of the summer. The second year, they had those big ferry boats that went around, and the guy told all the jokes. I don't know how I got picked for that, but I did. But I had a lot of fun with that. But anyway, there'd be days, especially weekends, the park would be packed with people. And there'd be, the queue lines where you go in, and the turnstile, you know, that counts how many people come in. And there's usually two or three or whatever. There'd be a line, like, you know, way back. And when it got a little big, they'd tell us, you know, open up the other queue line. And so you'd go and open up the other queue line. There'd be people that would just stand there, watch me open it. And I'd have to take them by the hand. Come with me. Come here. Right through there. Oh! And three or four people would go, and then pretty soon they're like, oh, great. Okay. It's almost like, you know, because it's kind of frustrating for those that we all think we would all do that. And most of us probably would. Here's a question that has nothing to do with my notes. Why are there like 42 checkouts at Walmart and only two open? Just saying. Has nothing to do with anything, but I'm like, why? Okay, so anyway, they just follow. People just follow. They just go with whatever is going. Oh, we're leaving. Oh, we're going this way now. Okay. Helen Keller was asked once, what would be worse than being born blind? And this is what she replied. Having sight without vision. Having sight without vision. Now, that's pretty profound, because this is a girl who was born into the world normal, and due to an illness, she became deaf, dumb, and blind. She couldn't hear, speak, or talk. Or see. That's crazy. Some of us are like, I have no choice on how I came into this world. I get that to some extent. Maybe you've had pasts that hurt. You got wounded somewhere along the way, or it was tough. You don't know I was with this. It was an abusive relationship or this or that. I'm not condoning anything that hurt you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying you cannot change your past. You can change your future. You can't go back. I mean, how many would go back and change some things? I made some stupid mistakes. I'd go back and change them. But I might not be able to help someone like where I am at right now, where I landed at right now. But you know what? If you don't like that, you can help where you're heading. You can help how you leave. The word vision means this: divine guidance, sight, dream, revelation, or enlightenment. The word perish means run wild, your own way, different from God, to die or to expire. Let me just ask you, do you have a vision for yourself? In 5 years, how do you see yourself? Sometimes they call those depth charge questions. What's your 5-year plan? Nobody wants to really answer that, because then we have to be like, oh man. I hate it when, like, I was a senior, here you go, students. When I was in school, they'd say, what do you want to do? What do you want to go to college for? I'm like, there's so many things that, you know, kind of interest me. None of them were probably, they would pay me anything, but, you know, I was just like, I would like this, or whatever. And they say, odds are this, when you go to school, most students change their major more than once. And I thought, how absurd. Happened to me. Went to school, seriously, went in to be a commercial artist. I drew in high school. I could draw, and I would do things and draw things, and that was all good. I thought, I'm going to be a commercial artist. I'm going to make money on the talent that God gave me. Now, I don't know that I recognized God so much at that time, but, you know, and I went in, and then I realized in art, I'd have to advertise things that I got born again that I didn't like or I didn't feel comfortable with. Now, if I was established, I probably could pick and choose, just like if you're doing something, you might be able to say, if this is your business, you can say, this is what I'll do, this is what I won't do. But when you're getting started and all that, I'm like, I don't know. So because I wouldn't do some of the things they asked me, I had to do extracurricular credit and all that kind of stuff. And it was, I got a name for myself, which was, I guess, good. In ways, if you were a believer, but for people that didn't like God, man, I was I was the blunt of all their jokes, which is okay. I get it. But I changed my major then. I said, okay, I'm going to be a forest ranger because I was an Eagle Scout. Hey, that's a good idea. A forest ranger. Oh, yeah. Smokey the Bear. That's what I'm going to be. They make you, to be a ranger, you got to know math. That's not good. Biology. Man, it was just like, whoo, wake up call. Then I decided I'll be a teacher coach. Yeah, a teacher coach. That one I wasn't, you know, too uncomfortable with. That one was okay. And so I helped coach middle school football and, you know, and I could do that. But I never stayed with it because I just like, Lord, I just didn't feel like what I was called to do. What is it that you want to do? What is your vision? Do you have a vision? Heaven and hell are choices. You got to pick one of those, and you get the other one by default. I mean, if you don't choose heaven, guess what you got? There's only really one good choice there. And parents, just so you know, if you don't pick heaven and those that are watching, it's harder for your family to pick heaven. Because they don't have any background or bringing up with that influence. And sometimes you might be, I did that, and my kids still went this way and that way. I'd grab on to scripture because they're coming back. If you've taught them, it doesn't go void, they'll come back. It's almost natural just to follow the leader. How about this church, True Life? So I'm not going to just make you feel like, oh, it's all on us. Do we have a vision? We do. Our vision statement is live life on purpose. The founding scripture is John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Our mission statement pretty much is this. I'm going to tell you this phrase, but it basically means live life on purpose, even though that's the vision and mission statement. But this is the statement. To be a church that will teach the kingdom, live and empower people to live life in victory, increase their faith in God, build their family strong, restore God's blessing in their lives. That's what we want to do. But we want to do that with purpose, that we know exactly what's going on. This is what God told me this year for TLC. Light it up. Next year. Next week when you come, the ushers will have glow-in-the-dark wristbands for you. That say True Life Church, and on the other side, see that? It just lit up. They just, boom, the students. Psh. And they glow in the dark. They're great. I mean, I picked glow in the dark on purpose because light it up. We've already put parking lot lights in. There's lights in our parking lot now. Had those put in, and we're about to get into a campaign here. We're meeting with the architect on Tuesday. I said it wrong in the huddle. I said Monday, but Tuesday, meeting with them, and hopefully we're honing things down into what our front entrance is going to look like, and then we can find out the cost of all of that, and then we can start a campaign on we want to get that paid for and then move down the pike, and just we want to be a place in the city goes, oh, I know that church. Not because we're religious, but because we connect with people that are connected with God. And that's what we want. We want to see this place lit up for Jesus Christ. People can come here and get saved, healed, and delivered. So we have all these things happening and more that's coming. We're going to believe to do more outreaches and things from this church. We have visions of putting on things in the parking lot because we have that huge parking lot. Let's make use of it. We want to be so much more involved. But we need your help. We need God's light in this world. Say amen to that. And I'm believing that you're going to help us because you know why? You don't want to be stuck. Sometimes if you're stuck and you feel like you're stuck, it's best to get your mind off you and get it on something else, something good, and help somebody else. And isn't it amazing when you start doing that, that God starts working in your situation? Pretty incredible. I'm going to give you three thoughts today that'll help unstick you. Sounds funny. But in the next couple of weeks or so, we're going to go through this past the sticking point. But these are very practical, And in ways you might already be doing some of these, and so this isn't going to be a hard change for you, but it will help you. Number one, are you ready? Here we go. Is what you're looking at based on the Word of God? How's your vision? What are you seeing? What are you focusing on? What are you looking at? Is God telling you something inside? Do you have some like, man, I just want to do this? You know what would be great? What do you really want to do? Isn't it be good to do something and see, like, I'm doing what I want to do? Do what you want to do and let God bless you for it. He gave you the talent. You know, I don't know how Rob Schreck does it. He's a plumber. I find nothing about plumbing very great for me, except that he knows how to plumb. And if I have any trouble, that's who I call. If I got any kind of pipe trouble, Rob. And he's always the same. Rob is steady Eddie. Rob is not an emotional guy. His speech is not like, hey, Pastor, how you doing? He's like, hey. Rob, I got trouble. Yeah. You available? I see. I'll get back to you. All right, Rob, thanks. Bye. Kim would be like, what'd he say? Same. I'll just wait and hear from him. But he always gets back to me and he always takes care of me. But he's gifted at plumbing. He sees stuff. I guess he just sees how it runs through. I don't see that. When I see plumbing, I see dollars. Have you ever done any plumbing that you didn't have to go get another piece? You just start plumbing. Hey, all I got to do is replace this pipe and this one and now this one. And we need a whole new bathroom, honey. It's just not working. Some of us don't want to see, even if it's right in front of our face. There could be things that God is trying to show you, and you don't even want to see it. He's been trying to tell you for years. He's given you ideas and things, and you just refuse to focus on that. They tell a story of a guy who had a dog that was incredible. He was a Labrador, and he would duck hunting. Every time he would shoot a duck, the dog would go get the duck and bring it back. The neat thing about the dog ran so fast, he could run across the water, never go in. This is a story, by the way. Just so you know, people are like, wow, where'd you get that? So he was so impressed at that, he wanted to tell his friend that always could do everything better and everything better than anybody else. So he took his friend duck hunting with him. And sure enough, here comes the ducks, quack, 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 bang, bang. Go get him, boy. Shoo, the dog went out, got the duck, shoo, bring it back. Guy said, good boy. He looked at his friend, he said, what do you think about that? His friend said, your dog can't swim. Give it a minute. Because he was on top of the water. Go in. There's some people that won't see anything that's in front of you. You quit trying to get everybody else's approval. You know what you need? You need God's stamp. Back in the day in the Old Testament, the king had a signet ring. And if he approved it, he would put that ring and he would stamp that. And once the king stamped that ring, it was a done deal. But you have to go past just what you see in the physical. What about the spiritual? What's God telling you in the spiritual? Hebrews 11, 24 through 27 says, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not hearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So Moses had this connection with God, and he understood, you know, this is your heritage here. But Moses could see something past what his natural eyes saw. Let me explain. If we looked at his life before, it was all going to be new territory. He was going to be out of his comfort zone. You ever been out of your comfort zone? You ever been put in some place and you're like, I do not know what I'm doing? I had to sell tires one time. First day on the job, and they were busy. This is when Sears was out at the mall. And they said, can you sell tires? I said, you hired me to do that. Sure. He said, okay, well, go ahead. So I just knew enough to go look at the old tire and come back and find out the numbers on the old tire and match them with something on a new tire and ask them how much they wanted to spend, and I was off and running. But that was out of my comfort zone. But I didn't tell the people, I have no idea what I'm doing. I just, here's what I'm doing, and then if they had a question, I didn't know it, I'd say, see that guy right there, I'll go ask him, can you hang on a second? You see, there are going to be times in your life you're going to be put out of your comfort zone. It's not going to be that easy. Everything doesn't just fall into place. Sometimes people will make it look easy, but it's not that easy. Transitioning in services and stuff, people, oh, that's easy. It's not so easy if you don't know how to do it. Moses was asked to go to Pharaoh and tell them what? Let my people go. He'd never let, you know, what's he going to do? How's he going to do that? And so he gets this plan from God. He's out of his comfort zone. But God is showing him things. He stared at a burning bush that didn't get consumed. I mean, this whole thing is just like off the chart. It's not past what your natural mind would do. It's already into the spiritual. Because that bush should have burned up, and it didn't. The natural, Moses blew it. I mean, if you'd think about it, because the people would be saying, Moses, you're an idiot. You could have been in Pharaoh's, you could have lived luxury. You could have just, you know what the most thing Moses could have been saying? More grapes. More grapes. And he said, I don't want that lifestyle. This is what God has called me to, and this is what I need to do. So there are people that will be like, oh, you missed your opportunity. You have to check with God. Sometimes that train you have to let go by, if that's not the train you're supposed to get on. I'm going to tell you a case in point, okay? I'm just trying to be as honest with you as I can. Before I started this church, I was ordained in the Assemblies of God. And we were looking. The Lord had told us to move. So that's what we were doing. I had an interview at a church in Cleveland. And since at that time I was a Browns fan, I thought this had to be God. And I still like the Browns, so please just understand. But, I mean, and this was an established church, already running 300-plus people, something like that, around in there. Already had, like, 15 acres. The property was nice. And so they called me in. I went and interviewed. I stayed the night. They interviewed me that day, interviewed me the next day. Lunch, interviewed me again. Got to preach on Sunday. It was a whole weekend. Came back and they're like, you're the man. We want you. The board met. It was unanimous. That was all, you know. So then they presented me with this package. It was a nice package, well beyond what I had been making. And, you know, and I'm already thinking, wow, this church right now is. And I wanted to take it. And I couldn't. The Lord said no. I mean, I knew he said no. I had no peace about it. And I remember telling those guys, and their jaws literally dropped and said, what do you mean no? And I said, I appreciate the offer, and I'm honored, but I can't take it. They called me 5 different times in the next several weeks. Please reconsider. What if we upped your package? What if we did this? And I finally was like, please don't call me anymore. I can't take it. It's not about money. I can't take it. And then the Lord had got me to a point where he told me to start this church. He gave me John 14:6. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If you ever wonder why we have True Life Church, that's why that's the name. And at the time, I was in Pickerington. I was pastoring in Pickerington. But before I started this church, let me just say there was a mega church that came to Pickerington, and they had gotten a hold of, and again, this all sounds like I'm saying, look at me. I'm just trying to make a point, okay? Please understand. I'm not saying, look at me. I'm just me. But anyway, that church was, they had a 4,500 member church, and they were running 2,500 plus at the time. And they came, and you know, you're in a congregation that was smaller. You notice 2 or 3 people that you've never seen before, sitting right up front with notepads. You're kind of like, well, what is going on? So afterwards, they waited, talked to, we really like you, and yada, yada, yada. Can we take you to lunch? So they took me and Kim to lunch. And they spilled the beans on what they're doing. Do you have anything? Can we take back to the church? So I, at that point, that was back in the days of cassettes. Remember those? Some of you remember 8-tracks. I remember those. Some of you go, I just remember reel to reel. I don't know. Anyway, I had all these different series on cassettes. And I had a bookstore in the church that we had put in. And so it had some of my stuff and had some other, you know, stuff relevant. You could buy cards and some Christian jewelry and stuff like that. But it's just, and so they said, can we have it? So I gave them 3 or 4 things they could take back. They took it back, came back. We want more. They were back the next week. Do you have any more? Well, you got whatever. I mean, if there's anything in there you didn't get that. So they went and took that. And it came down between me and another guy. And they said they're going to pick the other guy because they didn't know if I could pastor 2,500 plus. And I said, well, if you have systems in place, I don't have any reason to change them unless they're not godly. They said, no, I get that. I get that. Well, they ended up, the guy they had, they ended up taking another guy because of, I guess from what I understand of a board member, and the kid had never pastored before, was very young, had been in ministry 6 months. So he is very new. And in the process of all of that, I started this. And they called me back. We've made a grave mistake. We want you to come and I can't. And they said, well, would you reconsider? I said, there's no reconsidering. I can't. He gave me a mandate. I've already started the church. This is what he's called us to do. So what are you saying? I'm saying God will give you a vision. And he'll give you the gumption and everything to be able to stand up to what he is saying. In the natural, people might not understand. I had friends that are like, Gleason, are you nuts? Like, I'm not nuts. God has already done miracle after miracle after miracle in this place. You need to understand. We've seen provision come in that we don't even know how he did it. I mean, it's just been amazing. We're independent, non-denominational. But God has got something, a purpose for you. You need to know what that is. You don't want to be stuck anymore. You got to start looking at the things. You got to start saying, show me, God. Show me what you want me to do. Mark 5:36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. We talked about that last week. Remember Jairus' daughter? Jesus, if you come, you could heal her. Please, she's sick. Don't bother him anymore because he says he'd come. Don't bother him anymore. Your daughter's dead. And Jesus hears it and says immediately, as soon as he hears it, remember what we said, just believe. So you have to understand that sometimes God will just speak to you in a way that you have that peace inside and you have to just go with that. And you have to just say, oh, I don't have to understand everything. I just have to be obedient because I have the peace of God that passes all understanding. If you're waiting for everything to be seen in the natural, you're going to wait a long time. We walk by faith and not by sight. Watch what you see in the physical and don't let your first words negate what God has called you to do. Start saying what you want to see, what you're believing for. Now, I got 3 different belts in karate. Bruce Lee had a fighting style. Do you remember Bruce Lee? Hello! His fighting style was 6-inch, but it's probably 1-inch. It was a 6-inch punch, or he would, you know, had this punch. It was just maybe, you know, but he would look past his target, through his target, past it. What a concept! In the body of Christ, we aim at nothing and hit it all the time. What if we looked at what God is telling us to look and say, what do you want from me? How can I do that? How can I accomplish that for the kingdom and go past the mark to get it done? Are we even aiming at that? Most of us, if we miss our coffee, we're in a mess. What if Starbucks went out of business? Some of you'd be like, oh, God. You know how much money I've saved people? Pastor, can you help me save money? Quit going to Starbucks every day. There's $200 a month. I don't want to do that. Then I don't know what to tell you. What if we could adopt a concept to see beyond, see past? God, give me a vision that's not just here. What would it look like when I reach the goal and even go beyond if that's what you want? What would that be like? What could we accomplish? See, the vision is, first of all, the ability to see. Are you seeing clearly? Are you looking at just the circumstances, or are you looking beyond? What is God saying? What is He believing for? What does He see with you? Our second thought, we've talked about our eyes seeing. The second one, what are you listening to based on the Word of God? Some of us we just don't. And any downtime, we just have noise going. And I get that. There's sometimes you ever have a movie? I do sometimes have a movie playing. It's just a feel-good movie. It's in the background. I'm okay with that. But if that's all we do, have you ever been in a battle? You might want to start saying, I need to put something in the tank because the fight is still going on. I mean, just recently, there's just times I could have done a lot of things. You know, some things inspire me. Rocky inspires me. I like that. But Rocky can't feed my spirit, not like a word can from God. I can get an image of Rocky not giving up. I get that. What about an image of Jesus not giving up? What about just, you know, God and putting that word in my ears? Because you know what? Faith doesn't come by Rocky. Faith doesn't come by Duke. That's John Wayne. You know what faith comes? Comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Now, you have the measure of faith, and we all have muscles. Like every one of us in here have biceps. Some could be bigger because they're exercised more. We need to hear the Word of God and put that to use. You might have to ignore what everybody says. What's God saying? Do you have peace? Is what you're hearing line up with the Word? God will never tell you anything that goes against the Word of God. If it goes against the Word of God, it's not God. If it steals, kills, destroys, I guarantee you that's the enemy. If you have no peace, it's not God. But we put God in a box, don't we? God, here's how I want you to respond. And we just listen for the audible. You know how many times people say, I can't hear the Word of God. I can't hear God talking to me. But they can hear the enemy talking very plainly. Let me explain why. That's not really because the enemy is stronger. He's not stronger than God. We know that. Not even saying stronger in them. But what I'm saying is, they believe they can hear the enemy. They don't believe they can hear God. So when God's talking, they don't hear Him. He's talking. He's talking right now. But we're like, oh, I have to work too hard to hear Him. No, you do not. And we already automatically take the stand of, I just have trouble hearing Him. Well, He speaks in His Word. The Word was made flesh. The Word was God. The Word is God. You can look at the Word. The Word will tell you. But He speaks to your spirit. Your spirit is connected with His. What does His Word say to do? He's not going to tell you to do anything wrong. Are you a fact person or a faith person? So if we're controlled by the logical, limited demands mindset, well, it has to be this, it has to be that. Really, there is more to life than meets the eye, so to speak. more than the natural eye sees. And we just put God in this box. Well, if God's going to move, he's got to do this. Or he's just got to be here, or he's got to do it this way. We should walk by faith and not by sight. Our vision must be spirit-born, spirit-fed, and spirit-led. Spirit-born, spirit-fed, and spirit-led. Spirit-fed is the Word of God. Birthed by God. Led by God. Here's our third thought. You're seeing, you're hearing, so what are you believing? Mark 9:24 says, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Now I know everybody in this room has suffered from unbelief. And I'm going to say something and it might shock you a little bit. Sometimes when we're like, I don't understand why this happened. And, you know, it's easy to say we have a knowledge problem, because that's true. We do somewhere. We have an unbelief problem. That's true. But if everything is based on me, Houston, we got trouble. I can rest in what Jesus did. If my child comes up to me and because they didn't say something in the exact way I wanted but still said what needed to be said, am I going to punish them for it? Well, according to Rule Book Section 4, Article 5, Paragraph 7, Line 6, get out. No, God's not legalistic. God looks at your heart. Now, certainly our hearts have to be connected with God and obviously listening and teachable. I get all that. But this isn't just, you know, because there's times that let me just say this. It's easy when you're not going through it to be the person telling somebody how to go through it. When you're in the midst of all the hell that's going on, you almost want to say, shut up. Because it's hard then, because you got to start getting your mind in reception mode and releasing mode. Now, there's two different things. I have to receive the Word of God, but Jesus has already done it. If he's already done it, I don't have to try to get something I don't have. I have to release something so that I can receive what has already been done. I have to release my faith to go, okay, I might not understand it. This is why this man is saying, Lord, help my unbelief. There's going to be times you're not going to have a clue. And all you can do is say, thank you, for your mercies are new every morning. I might not know a lot, but this thing I do know. You are Lord and you are my Lord. And I might not know what this day brings, but come on, I know who brings the day. So I'm going to rest and rely on you. Everything that I do is going to rest in you. If he tells me to do anything, he's already done all the other. But if he says, I just need you to rest in me. He told the Israelites, you don't have to collect for Sunday. Collect twice on Saturday. You know what I'm saying? They still went out. Because we have trouble just resting. Some of you, if you had to sit still, it'd drive you nuts. Because you need, I just need to hear something. I need to da-da-da-da-da. What if he just said, just rest in me? Just rest in me. Sometimes, I mean, if I'm going through and the enemy's trying to throw sickness, I know it didn't come from God. I have to rest in the fact that it's already been paid for. This is illegal. So I rest in the fact that Jesus paid for it, and I receive and release and apply what he's done in my situation. This is what I told somebody just the other day. They said, could you explain that to me in a way I can understand? So here's my, I don't know if it's my best explanation, but here it goes, okay? If you ever ran a relay race, you're in a relay race, that first leg, and you run around the track, and you are running up, and the next guy, this is what they're doing. And you take that baton, and you hand it to them. Do you keep running or do you stop? You stop. Because now everything that is dependent is on that baton in the hand of that next person. So this is what I told him. I said, you have to, it's almost like if you take that baton and you'd write on there, health, total health. I need my knees better. I need, you know, Jesus already died for that. I'm going to hand that off. Now, here's what I'm telling you. You hear how quiet it is. This is what I'm telling you. That's how, you know, we talk about faith hunt. That's when I would tell you if you're going out and to receive your deer, you'd write down the date and time that you sowed your seed and believe God. Why do you do that? Because the enemy's going to come at you, and you need to be able to say, no, I received it on this time, this day. It's already done. Are you with me? This is the same purpose. So once I've received it, I'm just waiting on it to show up. I'm not waiting on it. I'm not trying to recreate. I'm just, so when I, you know, if I was hunting, I'd just be, okay, is he coming this way or this way? I don't know which way he's coming, but that's where I'm going to be ready. My responsibility is to make sure that I shoot well enough. Because, you know, if I can't hit the side of a barn, that's not God's fault. If I didn't keep my equipment ready, that's not God's fault. See, that's my job, responsibility, accountability. Got it? So knowing all of that, I can rest and say, okay, I had somebody tell me once, PB, I feel like my prayers just go out of my mouth and fall to the ground. You ever felt that way? As soon as I say I'm there, God, I need your help. And so the Lord gave me an idea. And I said, okay. I said, God, sounds kind of, I felt like I was Mr. Rogers. It's a happy day, 1-2. Here we go. And they said, what do you want me to do? I said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to write all your needs down of what you're believing God for. I said, okay. Well, that's not so unusual. I said, I want you to put them in this bucket. And then the bucket, I can't remember what we lit. Prayers answered. Something like that. And I had them put the bucket up on a top dresser. We talked about using a pulley. I don't know if they ever did that, but I just said, then put them up on the top dresser. Well, then I can't see them. I know. But the act of putting the prayers in answered prayer bucket and then getting them away from them and then putting them up there, they're like, well, they're up there. Right. God, you gave those to God. So when the enemy comes at you, I want to get past the sticking point. I'm not going to fight fights I don't have to. You know, how many fights I fight that I don't have to fight? That he just argues, he just messes with you, he's just lippy. It's like that kid in school that you just wanted to slap. You know, that you're like, oh. And you're just like, somebody needs to shut that kid up. You know, in elementary school or middle school. I don't have to fight that. You know what I do? I fight it with the word. I give you those three things I gave you before. When that thought comes, if I've already given that to the Lord, I say, no, I break that in Jesus' name. You know, if God says, you're gonna die, or I will not die. I will live long. I will have a long life. And then I will give scripture for that. And I will say that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:8. I mean, I will do whatever. Is that Philippians 4:8? 13. Thank you. Yeah, I knew something was off on that. But I will say that. And so then I'll bind the thought. Listen to me. It's important that you break it and bind it. And then replace it with the word. And then praise him. Those are those three things. And once you do that, you will feel the enemy leave. Now, he might come right back. Do it again. So this is why I tell him, nope, talk to the hand. This is the one time you can play Diana Ross. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to even argue with you on that. I gave that to the Lord. That's just like if I, here, Gib. Almost. I'm glad I didn't have it open. That was a knife. Here, Gib. I love that. Illustrated messages, but anyway, see, if I said to him, here, I want you to hold this for me, and Alex comes up to me and says, hey, PB, I need your knife, I don't have it. But I need it. I don't have it. But I need it. Can't help you. Why? Because I cast it to him. The enemy's going to come and try to get the stuff that you cast. You have to be able to tell him, if you want to get past your sticking point, I don't have, that's, you got to go talk to Jesus. I'm not going to argue that with you, because I've got the word of God, that I fight my battles. I speak his word. I say what God tells me to say. I acknowledge that he's king and over that situation, and I declare by his word, and then I praise him. And as we do that, you will see, no matter, if you don't see it in the natural, it will happen in the spiritual, and it will manifest. People ask me all the time, how did that show up? I have stuff show up that I forgot. Oh, yeah, that's right, I prayed for that. I just believed it would come, and I just forgot. So I was like, okay. And it just shows up. You go in my office, most of you don't know this, I do play guitar sometimes. I taught Mal how to play guitar when we first started the church. But I just believe God has so deceived for a guitar. I got 6 guitars in my office. They're hanging on the wall. They're sitting on there. People going there, I didn't know you play. Really, neither do I. But, part of what I want to do this year, and I said it last year, I played a little bit last year, I'm going to start playing more, and do whatever. But my point is this. It just, why? Because the law doesn't change. I don't have to agree with the law. It's still going to be the law. I don't agree with gravity. Have at it. Gravity's still going to get its way unless you, supersede it with the law of lift. See, these laws, it's just kingdom. God, I want to serve you with all my heart. How do I do that? You can't keep getting stuck every time the enemy tries to trip you up, because he's going to try. He'll try it every day. He might try it multiple hundreds of times a day. But if you will just watch what you see, watch what you listen to, put the right things in, put the right things in front, and begin to speak that out, say the end result, this is what I'm believing, and put that in front of your eyes, you'll make results. And you'll start seeing yourself, and you'll get flooded by peace. And God will have his way in your life. A vision includes faith to believe. So my question is this, and I'm just closing. What are we doing about it? What is the action you're going to do to choose to engage the vision? I mean, if the action is this, if this is the only thing you do, I choose to believe. That's enough. I just choose to believe. But you must engage. Fear isn't from God, it's from the enemy. Faith is voice activated, so is fear. I'm going to stay with God. I'm going to do what God said. What if these great patriots of old, what if Noah would have said, I don't like water. I don't do boats. Of course, that never happened before, but How about Moses? I'm not a people person. How about David? I don't do giants. How about Mary? I hate kids. These people are, they're human, but, Mary was awesome. Just be it as you said, be it unto me. You see, the biggest Goliath we have to face at the sticking point is us. Get yourself out of the way. You have the ability to see what others can't. You have the faith to believe what others will not. And you have the courage to make it happen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes?